Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Okay, so now, you guys ready? Let's get into the Word. We're in our Casket Empty series. We're in number 20 of this series, so it's going to be pretty awesome. Before we do that, as always, I got to tell a story, kind of get us going where we're headed, and so just give me this, okay? It's the start of the football season, so I'm going to give you a hockey story, all right? And so I remember I was with the Carolina Hurricanes, and we flew to Colorado to play against the Colorado Avalanche. They have a Hall of Fame goaltender by the name of Patrick Roy. I think we have a picture of him. That is Patrick Roy, or if you're from the United States, it's Pat Roy. All right, and that's who he is. But he's a Hall of Fame goaltender, and on this particular evening, he was going for the all-time wins record in the NHL. So he's about to set the record, and he thought he could just, the Carolina Hurricanes, whatever. Here's what's funny is we got into that game, we were tied, and we went into overtime against the Avalanche. And so as we're there, for the most part, usually when it comes overtime, that's usually when players of my caliber don't play anymore. All right? And so, but having said that, oddly enough, if you're keeping statistics, I have 37 career goals in the NHL over 14 years, so do the math, it's not that much. However, I do have 5 game-winning goals, all right? 3 of them are in overtime. So if you guys want to call me clutch or money, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. It's whatever, but 3 overtime goals. I actually had 4 overtime goals, but one was for the other team. But we're not talking about that right now because this is my story, all right? And so we're playing, and I'm sitting on the bench thinking, well, my game's over with. And then the coach taps me on the shoulder. He gets out there. He says, get out there the last minute of the game. And so we're tied up, and one of the wingers on our team, Kevin Dineen, goes streaking in. He pulls up around the circles, and he drops the puck back to me. And I'm like, I'm not even supposed to be here right now. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to let it fly. Bam! I step into that thing. Boom! Score. Red light goes on, and we beat the Avalanche, man. And so, sorry, Patrick Roy. You don't get the record tonight, all right? And so that was my moment. And but it's funny, there's another guy, the great prophet. I hope you've heard of him, Wayne Gretzky. He says this. He says, 100% of the shots you don't take never go in. And so I want to talk to us this morning about letting it rip. Like, let it fly. God is looking for men and women that will let it fly with their life. I tell you this, the world is looking for men and women that will let it fly with their life. You think about people like, so for example, many of you have heard of Howard Schultz. He's the founder and CEO of a little coffee company. You may have heard of Starbucks. But early on, he was just kind of a struggling guy in retail with a Swedish coffee maker outfit. And then he saw come for sale a little podunk coffee chain in Seattle called Starbucks. What a weird name. And so it was for sale for $3.8 million. And he's like, oh, and for whatever reason, he said that there was something inside of him that said, he knew if he passed up this opportunity, that he would regret it for the rest of his life. And the rest is history, as that $3.8 million looks a little bit small and sad when you think of last year alone, they made $63 billion. So if I can contrast this with, you guys remember the Trinity, the three founders of Apple, the two Steves, there's Steve Wozniak, Steve Jobs, and then there's another guy, Ronald Wayne. And so upon founding the company, Ronald Wayne got 10% of Apple, which he immediately sold for $800. Today, that would be worth about $100 billion, okay? So here's someone who panicked, and another guy says, man, I don't care. I'm going to let it rip with my life. And so the world is looking for let it fly, let it rip people. And this morning we're going to talk about a guy who let it rip with his life. Familiar story, David and Goliath. By the way, my good friend David is here today. For those of you who don't know, Pastor Bruce Ho and I tag-teamed David at the front of the altar afterwards, Bruce was praying for him to receive Jesus, and I told him, like, no, he's mine too. And we both tag-teamed over David. He's here with his sons here this morning, and so great to see you, bro. I did this message just for you, because we're going to talk about David. But the reality is this, we know the story. David, he gets the stone in his slings, and what? He lets it fly. But we do know this. How many know that if he doesn't let it fly, it's a much different story? And so David, he's a guy who let it rip with his life. And so there was someone, like if you look at David in the scriptures, he is he's referenced in 62 chapters. He's only second to one other person in the Bible, the son of David. We know him as Jesus. All right, so David, the big deal. In fact, at the end of the book of Ruth, it gives a genealogy. Can we agree that genealogies are boring in the Bible? But at the end of Ruth, it ends like this. It says, Obed, father Jesse, and Jesse, father David. The lights go to black, and then suddenly we get 1 Samuel. And there's all this expectation and anticipation for this great king that would come, David. But here's what I want to tell you. Your Bible is not about David. Your Bible's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about God Almighty, the son of David, Jesus Christ. He is the great hero. And we're going to see that this guy, David, he's a champion. But we're going to find out later on he's a very flawed champion. But it's designed to whet our appetite for the true champion, the perfect champion, Jesus Christ. And maybe I can help you this way in reading your Bible, like Old Testament. In our Bible, reading through the Bible in a year, we're in the Old Testament, and we get to some really cool moments now because we're in Kings and Chronicles, and we finally got out of Leviticus and some of these things, okay? But this might help you. How many saw any of the Avengers movies? Anybody? Most of us? If you didn't, that's your assignment for this afternoon, to watch an Avenger movie. And the Avenger franchise is the highest grossing franchise of all time. $22.5 billion it's earned. But here's what I love. They have all these different movies, but yet each one, there's a little hint and a clue of what movie was to become, where it all culminated in the movie Endgame, right? So they have Infinity Stones, they have this villain named Thanos, until suddenly it all culminates in one. That is your Old Testament. It's giving us these hints and these clues of who this great hero was that it's to come. And so it's cool, like when you look at the life of David and Jesus, they're eerily similar. It's designed to let you know something, someone better is coming. And so they were both born in Bethlehem. How about this? They were both shepherds. Jesus is the good shepherd. How about this? That they were both mocked by their brothers. They were both sent to the front lines of battle by their fathers. And so we see these similarities between David and the son of David, Jesus Christ, who is to come. And so we're going to pick up our story is this. The arch enemies of the people of God is this group called the Philistines, all right? And so they're in there, and they have this amazing champion by the name of Goliath, right? And so what the Philistines would do is they would practice representative warfare. And so rather than all of us dying in battle, let's get one champion, let's put him out front to battle your champion, and winner takes all. And so the Philistines did that. Israel didn't do that. And so let's pick up reading here in your Bible. I'm going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 4, and let's read about their champion. It says in verse 4 of chapter 17, "And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." And so to help you out, that's 9'9", okay? That is a big dude. And so he's 9'9". And it says this, that he was a champion. It's a unique word for champion. Champion, it means this, the man in between. He was to stand between the two armies. And so the Philistines had their champion, and now Israel was to have theirs. And so if you're familiar, the first king of Israel, which Dottie spoke about last weekend, is this guy, King Saul. And if you remember what it says about Saul, it says he was a head taller than anyone else in all of Israel. And so what should have happened is the Philistines' tall guy should battle Israel's tall guy, and that's how it should go down. Problem is, Israel's tall guy is terrified and won't go out to battle. But Now, fresh onto the scene is the young shepherd boy, David. David means the beloved of God. Do we know anyone else who is the beloved of God, right? And it would say later on that this David was a man after God's own heart. And David goes to the people and to the king and he says, "Don't be afraid. I will fight on your behalf." And isn't that a familiar message? Like, that's the gospel. That's our message, that we let men and women know, hey, don't be afraid of death, hell, and the grave. We have a champion who will fight on our behalf, and his name is Jesus, the Son of David. And so that's our message. And so the story goes, how crazy is it that they let this little boy go represent them? And then as the battle, the two warriors, the men in between, come together. Remember what happens? Like, there's just a hush until suddenly David starts just winding up with this sling, and he lets it fly, and he drops the giant. Can you tell me there's not a collective, I can't believe that just happened? And in just the irony of ironies, do you know in Levitical law what would happen for an individual that cursed God and the people of God? You know what the penalty is? Stoning. David's like, I'll handle it. And he drops the giant, and so he let it fly. Jesus led a let-it-fly life. He came, and he walked perfectly until he put himself on a cross, and he died on our behalf. Do you know the word sin? It's actually an archery term, and it means to miss the mark. And so every one of us, we've missed the mark of what God asks us to hit. We've missed it until Jesus lived the perfect life, and he nails it on our behalf. And so he is our champion, our man that stands in between. But here's the amazing thing. Before Jesus left, he sent you on a mission that now you're the champion, that you're the one called in between Jesus Christ and a dying, hurting world. Jesus, when he came, he says, "Me? I am the light of the world." And before he left, he says this, "You are the light of the world." The Apostle Paul will say this, "You and I, we are ambassadors for Christ." If I could just paraphrase that, God's telling us to do this. Hey, let it fly. Let it fly with your life. Let your life rip to the glory of God. And so I want to just give us some quick points on this idea of letting it fly. And I'm going to begin with this. Here's point number one, if you're a note taker, is let it fly because there's a giant slayer on the inside of you. There's a giant slayer that lives on the inside of you. And so I just got back from Boone, North Carolina. Is anyone from Boone? Anybody? Okay, good. Let's talk about them and make fun of them. So my daughter lives there now, and where we were, it was country. Like, I'm talking country, like y'all fixing, cutting the lights off, that kind of country. And I always tell my daughter, I'm like, "Baby, your daddy can handle country. You just never bring home a redneck. All right, baby, your daddy can't handle that." All right. And so it was funny. And in perfect fashion, so we went to the grocery store with my daughter and my wife, and we're there. And I'm going up to pick up some supplies. And by that, I mean I'm going to pick up a bottle of wine from the store, okay? Don't worry, it's red wine. That's what Jesus drank. And so I went there. And actually, there was somebody with little cups, and they were giving samplers of all these different styles of wine. And so I don't care about that. I know what I want. I want my Bogle Cabernet. It's cheap but delicious. And so I asked them for that. And then I want to introduce you to somebody. His name, I'm just going to call him Buck. He had a big Superman shirt on, and Buck was straight up country. And he's just sampling all these different ones. And what is this? He says, "Bogle? What's Bogle?" I said, "Oh, it's a Cabernet Sauvignon." He goes, "Oh, does that come in a bottle or a box?" You know, boxes, man, they keep longer and you get more out of it. You know, like, I'm like, "Yeah, okay." He goes, "Hey, have you ever tried one of those peanut nurs?" I'm sorry? "A peanut nur. Come again?" "Oh, a Pinot Noir." "Yes." He goes, "Oh, well, you know, I was watching the Discovery Channel, and he says this, that at the Holy Grail had peanut nur in it." So I was like, "Oh, okay." And it was so over the top that my daughter goes, "Oh, this is fantastic." She started videotaping it like that. God is my witness. And so peanut nur that dwells in the Holy Grail, and I want to talk to you about The Holy Grail, if you remember seeing Raiders of the Lost Ark or anything like that, what it is it's the chalice where they believe that Jesus gave the wine to the disciples. And so it's ridiculous that people are in search of this thing, because the reality is that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is pumping through your spirit right now. We don't need some stupid chalice or anything like that, because the blood of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, is dwelling and pumping inside of your spirit right now. And so 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12, it says this. It says, "Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years." And so it's kind of this odd piece where the Bible takes a moment and says this: hey, David, he was born of an Ephrathite. And it's kind of weird, because Jesse wasn't an Ephrathite, and so they're trying to get... What the Bible is doing is it's connecting us all the way back to the very first giant slayer in your Bible, and his name is Caleb. Caleb was the first giant slayer. He was a Kenizzite, but he married an Ephrathite. And so the blood of the giant slayer is pumping inside David, and the Bible wants you to know that. If you guys know what the Bible refers to Caleb, remember 12 spies went in to scout out the promised land, and they saw what? There's giants in the land. 10 came back with an evil report of unbelief, but 2 came back with a different spirit on their life, the spirit of faith. And one of those men was Caleb. And God says, my son Caleb is surely going to enter in, because he had a different spirit. Why? Because Caleb was willing to let it rip for God Almighty. Do you know what happens when when Joshua was dividing up the promised land to God's people? Do you know what Caleb did? Caleb went to Joshua and he says, give me the highlands. And Joshua's like, are you crazy? The sons of Anak, the giants, live up there. Perfect. See, he hungered to face the giants. He wanted to let it rip with his life. Crazy faith was on this guy, and that was what was pumping through the veins of our hero David. And so I got to tell you this. So as I was breaking down 1 Samuel 17, read it a million times, but really for the first time I was so convicted in my heart, that because I have such small thinking, small vision, I was convicted by the Lord. I'm usually like, hey, I'll take on a lot of giants, but I just got to be sure that I got a chance to take them. And see, David's not like that. Let me read to you 1 Samuel 17, verse 46. It says this: this day the Lord, this is David talking smack to the giant. He says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Did you hear that? He's not worried about surviving the battle. He says, I'm going to kill you, fool, and then all you other fools are dead too. Like, what kind of crazy faith is dwelling in this little shepherd boy with a sling and some rocks? He had big vision, big faith. He says, I'm going to let this thing rip to the glory of God. And so here's what you need to feel with me this morning, that if you've received Jesus Christ, that his spirit is inside of you. Like the same spirit in Mark chapter 5 that dwelled in Jesus. Jesus, as he walked the earth, full of the Holy Spirit of God. Do you remember in Mark chapter 5, he gets onto the shores of Gadara, and a man that is filled with unclean spirits. The Bible says he has a legion. That's 6,000 unclean spirits dwell within this man, barreling down, running towards Jesus, and then Jesus is the one man with the one clean spirit, but the spirit of the living God inside of him, the Son of God in the flesh. And what happens? 6,000 to one, the 6,000 drop to their knees and say, have you come to torment us before the time? Listen, if that's not enough for you, I believe you can feel this with me, that media, I mean, all kinds of stuff, we all understand that we can feel it in our innermost being, that there's coming a day when everything's going to come to a head. Armageddon, you call it whatever you want, but we know time is going to eventually culminate, and we can feel that there's going to be this epic battle. But if you realize that it's unbelievably anticlimactic when you read about it in the scriptures, the armies of the enemy of God stand before him, and Jesus Christ appears, and what does he do? The Bible says this, that they are destroyed by the breath of his mouth. Game over. How unbelievably anticlimactic is that? And that's the spirit that dwells inside of you and me. And so God calls us to let it rip with our lives because God dwells inside of us. So David's this guy who, when he sees stuff, he doesn't see obstacles, but he sees opportunity. Did you catch that? Read it later. David's like, hey, what happens to the guy that kills this fool? You get the king's hot daughter and you don't have to pay taxes? Are you kidding me? And so, when people saw what was impossible, David, through the eyes of faith, he saw what was possible. And so I'm praying that God would give us the eyes of faith to see what's possible. Funny story. This is back in the 1870s. They had a convention of Christian churches gathered together at Westfield College in Illinois, and all these churches are together. And in the 1870s, mankind is really starting to invent some new things. And so one of the guys, just really zealous, declared, and he stood up in front of the convention, and he says this, "I believe with man just growing in ingenuity and in inventiveness," he goes, "this is what's going to happen. One day a man's going to fly in the air." And one of the bishops stood up, rebuked the guy, "sit down. The Bible's clear that flying is reserved for the angels of God. Sit back down." And that, you know who that bishop was? His name was Bishop Wright. You might not know him, but you know his kids, Orville and Wilbur Wright, that invented the plane, right? These were guys who saw possibility where there was impossibility. Let it fly with your life. Here's number two is this. Let it fly where you are. This is a simple idea, but I think it's profound. Let it fly where you are. Let me read for you 1 Samuel 16, verse 18. And I want to let you know this. This is before David dropped the giant Goliath. Chapter 16, verse 18 says this. One of the young men answered, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him." Did you catch that? Like, David didn't wait to drop the giant in order to be great, to be all that God's called him to be. David says, "I'm going to be great wherever God places me." And I just want to challenge you. Like, David was great as a shepherd. You don't believe me? You ask the lion and the bear that tried to mess with his sheep. David was great with the sling. Don't believe me? Ask Goliath. David was great with the harp because when he played, demons would flee. And so let's be a people that are great where you are. Can we just all agree we want to be in different places? Like, hey, I mean, I would like to have more money. I would like to, you know, you fill in the blank for you. But listen, let's not wait for that. Let's be great wherever God places you. If you're single right now, be great where you are. If you're married and you can't stand your spouse, all right, don't look at him right now. But listen, be great where you are. You hate your boss. Who cares? Be great where you are. Mark 7, verse 37, it says this of Jesus, "He's done all things well." And that's what God's called us to do, to let it rip wherever God has placed us. Listen, potential is God's gift to you. What we do with that potential is our gift that we give back to God. Paul, the book of Corinthians, says this. He says, "Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." Is that insane? Like Paul's saying that there's a way that we drink coffee and a way we eat food and a way we should do things. We should do it in a manner. We should let it fly and do it all to the glory of God. Here's number three is this. Let it fly. Don't let fear of failure keep you from steps of faith. Don't let the fear of failure paralyze you and keep you from steps of faith. But let it fly with your life. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40 says this, "Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook." I was so tempted to say five smooth stones, all right? But I didn't do that, all right? I held it back in there. From the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. I say this with just, I can't convey to you how sincere I am in this. I have a big fear for me and for you. And here's what it is. That you and I, that we would stand before the Lord and and we'd stand before him and we'd have our pouch filled with rocks. Why? Because we're afraid to let it rip with our life. Like when we said, like, God has a purpose, he has a mission for you and for me. And are you going to let fear of failure hold you back from all God's called you to do? Can you imagine standing before him and you just have all these rocks that he says, man, you were supposed to let that fly. You were supposed to, why did you hang on to that thing? Let it fly. And so Jesus actually speaks to this in Matthew chapter 25. It's the parable of the talents. If you remember, God gave, in the story, they're giving 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. The ones with 5 and 2, what did they do? And they let it rip, and they began to make a profit. And they said, God says, well done, well done. And then one, paralyzed with fear, takes it and buries it in the ground and gives it back to him. Do you remember Jesus' response? You wicked and lazy servant. And so that's my fear. Let's be a people that, man, we empty out all the rocks that God's given to us, and we let it fly with our life. And here's the thing I want to encourage you. Hey, if you screw up and fail, who cares? You got 4 more stones, man. You got 4 more. And so, it's like I always wondered why 5 stones? And like some people say that, you know, David or Goliath had brothers, so they said there was 4 other actually giants, and so that very well could be. But here's what I think. I think that, see, numbers in the scriptures, they have meaning. So 12 is the number of government, and 7 is the number of perfection or completion. 3 is the number of perfection. On and on they go. But 5 is the number of grace, God's unmerited favor. And here's the thing. We can always reach back in our pouch for the grace of God. You step out in faith and you fail, who cares? The grace of God can cover that. And it's never-ending grace. We can't exhaust the grace of God upon our life. And so here's what I need you to ask yourself this question today. What is God asking you to let fly in your life? What are you afraid of that you know God's asking you to take this step, to let something fly with your life, and you refuse to do it? Man, let it rip. Let it rip. David, at the end of his life, in Acts chapter 13, verse 36, it says this, David fulfilled the purposes of God and fell asleep. I want that to be on my tombstone when I die. Adam fulfilled the purposes of God and fell asleep. And then here's the last thing, and I'm going to ask Kim to come up, is this, let it fly. Your enemy is defeated and your God is alive. Let it fly. Your enemy is already defeated and your God is alive. Jesus lives. Let me read to you 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 50. It says this. It says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. And then David ran, stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and he killed him. He cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they all fled. And so I'm going to share a story with you. I shared it with the Jets. I've shared it here before, but I brought in a prop. I don't know if you guys have seen this. So first of all, I can't believe they let me into the hotel to meet with the Jets with a sword in my hand. So, but here's the story behind this is our name is Every Nation, right? Every Nation, because we have churches around the world, and we had an Every Nation World Conference, and there were pastors from around the world, and there's an older Japanese guy who flowed in the prophetic, and this prophetic man, he ran over me, kind of startled me a little bit, and he's like, you're the man, you're the man, and I'm like, what? Like, and he says, God gave me a vision years ago that I was to present this sword to a man. And he says, you're that guy. And he gave me this sword. See, the reality is that that's not true at all. I just made that up, all right? It's a good story, though, right? Actually, a men's group gave it to me. But here's what is true. David, he took the sword. It was the sword that Goliath said, I'm going to kill you with. And David took that sword and he cut off the giant's head. And then he exposed it to the armies of God, the armies of Israel, and they overtook the enemy. And then it says that David took that head, that skull, and took it back to Jerusalem. Here's what's kind of odd. Jerusalem is not possessed by the Israelites yet. So they figure it was outside the camp of Israel. And Jewish, every rabbi will say this, that David took that head and he buried it on a hill outside of Jerusalem. A hill called Golgotha, the place of the skull. The place where thousands of years later, they would take a son of David and they would hang him up on a cross. And though they thought they were killing him, Jesus is actually fulfilling thousands of years of prophecy that said, I'm going to crush the serpent's head by the son of this woman. And Jesus is fulfilling it at that point. See, that sword that was meant to kill David, David turned it around on the giant. And the scripture says this, that Jesus, through death, took away the power of him who had the power of death and forever killed it on our behalf. But here's the story doesn't end there, because now, thousands of years after that event, God challenges you and challenges me that we're to go off. But this time, we do have a sword. We have a helmet. We have a breastplate. We take the sword of the Spirit, and now we go out, and by the words of our mouth, we speak life. We speak the word of God. We pray, we overcome, we push back all that's dark in the world. And that's what God's called us to do, to let it fly with our lives.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.